We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. May I present the Big Four? John Amos and Frank Muir are facing Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton, and they would like you to applaud them now, please. More enthusiastic applause would be in order for our scorer, Leonie Lawson. And I am your chair.
Too kind.
We begin. We usually start with some musical identification. So, John Amos, what is this from? Horns, rather effective.
Very effective.
Any ideas?
It sounds... is it American?
Yes. Well done. It's American.
Is it the beginning of a piece?
No, it's towards the end of something.
Ah. Is it Aaron Copland?
Yes, you're doing well. Yes, go on.
Is it one of his symphonies?
No, it's a ballet.
It's a ballet.
1938.
Well, I've got to guess whether Appalachian Spring was written in 1938, or whether it's Rodeo, or Billy the Kid.
Yes. Got it first time. You did awfully well, though. Yeah. It comes from near the end of Billy the Kid, and you did very well indeed. Good mark there.
One small rider about Aaron Copland is he said that if a literary man puts two words together about music, one of them is wrong.
Did he? Anyway, the French horns you heard there in that piece by Aaron Copland. Frank, while we're on the subject of horns, what shape is this horn? Lovely note from Alan Lumsden.
My colleague suggested that it was in bad shape. Rather cruel. Yes. Clearly, if the question is what shape it is, it's a shape worth remarking
exactly.
on.
Yes.
It's a serpent.
Serpent-shaped.
Which is a practicing boa constrictor shape.
Yes, caught in the act sort of boa constrictor, yes. The serpent, played by Alan Lumsden in the piece by Frescobaldi. Right. Ian, from a very low note at the end there to something that ends on a very high one. Terrific top B flat,
but
not his usual type of material. You may not even know he's recording anything like this. Who was the singer?
I associate that song with a record we had in my childhood by Derek Oldham and Winnie Melville.
Oh, yes.
Singing
yes.
Only a Rose. It's presumably an operatic tenor.
Yes.
Would it be Jussi Björling?
Yes. Jussi Björling it was, singing Only a Rose, yes. Dennis, you, like the rest of us, know an awful lot of tunes, but remembering what they're called is another matter.
Yes, I remember. There used to be a joke that it had been popularised by Lana Turner.
That was the joke,
that
yes.
That was the joke, because it was called the Jersey Bounce.
Yes, yes. Jersey Bounce it was, yes.
We had Benny Goodman doing that.
Yeah. But that was the Ted Heath version, actually. Mm. And like so many of Ted Heath's records, the perfect tempo. Mm. Ted just hit exactly the tempo at which you wanted to hear something played. Some compositions are known best not in translation but in their original languages. Translate their titles and they may not be so instantly recognisable. Do you, for instance, know an opera called The Troubadour? Well, perhaps not, but you know Il Trovatore. Translations, then. John, who composed The Lights?
I Luci?
No.
Le Lumiere?
No, but...
In a butcher.
Die Lichter? What language can I go into?
Well, the sort of lights they have in Blackpool.
Blackpool?
Yes.
What, butcher's lights?
Lights.
No.
You mean it's in another language or it's in another language?
No, I think I'll have to tell you. The lights, I've translated the lights. I took the liberty of translating Les Illuminations into the lights. Now, that composer then for half of
that. That's Benjamin Britten.
Britten, yes, to poems by Rambo. So, translated titles. Frank, who composed an opera called Thus Do All?
Who composed it?
Yes.
Cozy Fanny Tuck.
she did indeed. She did indeed. And she called it Mozart.
It's Wolfgang.
Yes, all right. Mozart. Cozy Fanny Tuck, yes. Ian, who dedicated a courtly dance to a deceased princess?
A deceased princess would be presumably a dead infanta.
Yes.
A pavane.
Yes.
To a dead infanta by Ravel.
Ravel, yes. He claimed, it's rather nice this, that it wasn't supposed to be descriptive of the sort of pavane you'd play for a dead princess. He chose it for reasons of euphony, the title. Because in French it's pavane pour une infante défunte.
What
they call
Enfant. It's rather like the choice of the River Swanee in Way Down Upon the Swanee River.
Swanee.
Because he chose it just because it fitted.
The sound. Yes. Or, while we're talking about that, wasn't it, Paul McCartney, who had hanging around for years a song called Ham and Eggs? Ham and Eggs.
Scrambled
eventually,
Eggs.
Scrambled Eggs, was scrambled it? And eventually eggs, called it Yesterday. Mm. Back to the quiz. Dennis Norton, who made famous a performance entitled I Love Thee, Me Not More?
We're still translating from out of into, yeah?
Yes, we're still translating.
I love thee.
Much so.
I love thee. Is the thee the German or French?
French. French.
Je t'aime.
Yes. Me Not More.
Moi Non Plus.
Yes.
I never heard a song called Je t'aime.
I was thinking of Ich liebe dich.
Yes.
Not even the famous record by Jane Birkin and Serge Gainsbourg.
Oh, yes.
Je t'aime, mais non plus.
That's it, yes.
Also a hit for a character called Judge Dredd. Talking of languages, when I was a student, we used to talk about Richard Strauss's Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks, literally translating the composer's German title. But in either language, there's something curious about the title itself, is there not, John? Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks.
Well, I never heard it called that.
Well, we used to as a student, yes.
Lustiger Streicher.
Yes, no.
Is the usual.
Yes, but the point is, it's tautological, because Eulenspiegel is, in effect, merry pranks.
Yes.
Practical jokes.
Tautology.
Tautology.
Hourglass.
Right. On we go.
It means in English.
Here's the beginning of a record by two brilliant and incidentally beautiful sisters. The question for John will be, who are the sisters? Question for Frank is, what is the name of the tune, though it's implied rather than stated on the music we hear. Question for Ian is, what's the first line of the song? And the question for Dennis, which show did it come from? Here's the music. John, the pianists, do you know them?
Sisters?
Yes.
French.
Well, Art Tatum and his sister Arthurina.
No. Much more recent, very much alive.
Two French sisters, marvellous piano.
Lebec.
Yes, Katia and Marielle Lebec.
Smashing looking girls.
They are. Too. Beautiful pianists too. Right, Frank, the name of the tune they were about to play.
You mean the name of the tune they were about to play?
Well, they hinted at it in that introduction.
You definitely hinted at it.
Oh, yes, da-da-da-da-da-da.
No, you can't take that away from me.
They can't take that away from me. Fair enough. Yeah. Ian, the first line of that song.
Oh, goodness. The way you wear your hair.
Well, hat. Near enough. Hat.
Or well,
if you wanted to be tricky and have the first line of the verse, it would have been, our romance won't end on a sorrowful note. Dennis, the show or film?
It was a film, and I can see Fred Astaire singing it because they had a tribute to him,
which
was a lovely television programme.
Isn't it? Yes.
And, but I can't remember the name.
He and Ginger Rogers on the ferry to Hoboken.
Yeah, and he wore a snap-brim trilby, and he had a white breast pocket handkerchief, and she had a kind of pillbox hat over on one side, and it was rather misty in nighttime.
Yes. I think that gets you a mark, don't you, audience? That gets him a mark. The film was Shall We Dance? The song, They Can't Take That Away From Me, was nominated for an Oscar, but the winner that year was, would you believe, Sweet Leilani.
Heavenly Flower.
Yeah. The arranger, incidentally, that two-piano record, François Genoux. Lovely arrangements, too. Many tunes or themes start with these notes. For example, one of Strauss's waltz themes. Beginning with those notes, then. John, you first. What is this?
It's one of old Luggage Van Beethoven's pieces.
Which one would you like? An early symphony, for instance.
Two?
Even earlier. One.
He didn't write a nought, did he?
No, he didn't write a nought. No, others did, but he didn't, no. Beethoven, that's right. Frank, some same starting notes again. The tune?
I like to recognise the tune.
I like to recognise the tune, Rodgers and Hart.
Which is quite a good thing to say to the pianist, isn't it?
Yes. Ian, title please, and it must be the right title.
It's not like a short little hand, but...
I kiss your little...
Not little.
Pretty?
No. It's
large.
No. I kiss your hand, madame.
Oh. It wasn't a hand?
It starts in Dreams, I kiss your hand, madame.
Oh,
Bing Crosby in The Emperor Waltz sang that, you know. So that's really half a mark, not a full.
Oh, yes, I don't think I get it.
It doesn't fit.
Very lucky.
I kiss your hand. I kiss your hand.
No, in Dreams, I kiss your hand.
Yes, in Dreams, I kiss your hand.
But Carl Brisson used to sing I Kiss. Yes. I bet he did sing
well,
I Kiss Your Hand.
Well, he can have the half mark.
So I have that. It's a much more winning line.
Yeah. And he's got a little white carnation in his buttonhole.
Gardenia.
Then you get the other half mark. Right. Dennis, same six starting notes. Title and composer, please.
It's called Bluesette.
Yes, and it's by?
Don't know.
Harmonica player, Belgian. Also plays the guitar.
Toots
Thielmann.
Thielmann, yeah.
You got the half mark there. I call this next round a sporting chance. John, Schumann's Carnival honoured the hometown of a girl he was in love with. The town spelt A-S-C-H. How do those four letters translate into musical notes?
A, S is E-flat.
Yes.
H?
C comes next.
Oh, C is C.
Yes.
And
B.
H is B.
B, that's right.
The Germans are calling. Yes, the mass in B minor is the mass in H.
Yes, indeed.
H moll.
Yep.
So H is B. Are you with us, Frank? This has obviously come as a considerable shock.
I never
shock.
Knew there was an H.
I'm on another planet.
Yes. Well, instead of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, they call H, B. B flat is B, and H is B.
All right, Tom.
And Jimmy Blades has a lovely story about playing in a band in his very young days on a pier somewhere under a guest German conductor. And this was playing in England, I think Folkestone or somewhere like that. And just at the end of the concert, the conductor, trusting, of course, as one does, to the musician's memory, said, "All right, the national anthem," he said, "in B." Well, that's a very funny key, B. Well, half the band thought, "Oh, well, his Germany means B flat." And the other half of the band thought, "Oh, well, if he wants it in B, he can have it in B." So they got... But halfway through, the ones in B flat thought, "Ah, he meant it in B." And the ones in B thought, "Ah, he wanted it in B flat." So they...
You know, I think the first time Henry Wood's voice was ever heard broadcast was when, at the opening night of the Proms, there were two versions the orchestra had of God Save the King. One was in G, one was in B-flat. And it was the most dreadful noise. And one heard over the radio Sir Henry Wood's voice saying, "Try it in B-flat, trombone."
Oh, dear. Frank. Back to you. Can you think of a whole song that consists merely of two notes? I can think of two-note songs, one old and obscure, and the other a more recent Latin American piece.
The one-note samba.
Samba, yes. Yeah. Does contain two, and there are more in the middle.
It also goes...
There's an old song, I wonder if Dennis remembers it, called "I've Got a Note."
I got a note.
Yeah. This is the note.
There's a band number. Does Johnny One Note?
No. Poor Johnny One Note.
It's the verse of Night and Day is just one note.
Very much so. Yes, very similar. That sort of roams around a bit.
If it isn't the next question,
it isn't.
Rossini once wrote a song, and it was written for a mezzo-soprano who had one very good note. The rest of her voice was terrible. And he wrote a song, and it's about three-quarters of the way through before you realise she's only singing one note. Because the harmony is so clever.
Yes. That is why the verse of Night and Day harped on one note, because it was a particularly good note for Fred Astaire, wasn't it? And Bill Porter wrote it for him.
All this stuff has eclipsed my triumph in answering the question.
That's right.
Thank you.
True.
Did you?
I once heard somebody lecturing on
there he goes again.
on Così fan tutti, which Frank has already triumphantly mentioned, and it was about the soprano aria for Fior di Ligi, and he was saying he said it is a case that Mozart wrote the aria for a particular soprano of his day who had wonderful top notes and very good notes down in the low register. She had a wonderful top and a fantastic bottom.
Right. Ian, nothing to do with one-note songs. A sporting chance, I said at the beginning of this round. Why should this pianist make me think of an average figure of 115.66?
Well, if you want an absolutely straight answer to that question, I haven't the slightest idea.
Well, can I put you into the right sort of field by suggesting that you wouldn't boycott a pianist like that?
Oh, I see.
115.6.
You mean it's a batting average?
Yes, that's right. Whose? In 1938.
Oh, well, if it was in 1938, it has to be Don.
Sir Donald Bradman, who was playing the piano there...
Well, I know.
And that rolled record. The highest ever score recorded in England, batting average, 115.66. That was the dump. Did you ever see him play?
Yes, I did. As a schoolboy, at standing in very much at the back of a huge crowd at Lord's, I saw him play. And that must have been one of his very triumphant seasons, because I can still remember a newspaper placard on that particular Australian tour that was Evening Standard, I think, in London. It just had the one remark on it: Bradman fails. And everybody rushed to buy a paper. And what was failure with Bradman was that he'd only scored 47.
Yes. Well, that was him playing the piano.
It was like Sir John Gielgud, who was a mind on other things, was rushing along Piccadilly, and he saw a newspaper with a thing saying, play cancelled. Which theatre? He said.
They used to those days to have lovely things like Kent collapses. Yes. Yes.
Dennis, two names from you, please.
Yardley wasn't broken-hearted when the second inning started. Jenkins was like a target, getting the first five into his basket. But Gomez broke him down while Walker flicked them around. He was not out for 168, leaving Yardley to contemplate. The bowling was super fine.
Who? Those friends of mine, Ramadine and Valentine.
Yes, quite right. Lord Beginner singing there his Calypso in 1950. And so we come to song time, otherwise known as Don't Worry, It's Nearly Over. Frank.
Do worry, the worst
you'd
part.
You'd be so nice to come home to...
What?
You'd be... We're so nice.
No,
we're so nice. Let's to come home to.
I think I'll have to wind him up. I think we've got it on the
wrong speed.
Let's try you'd there.
You have you got one in between?
Try that. You'd be so right.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the bees on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire, under stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and love. The key didn't quite fit the lock, but it was... No, we got in.
We managed.
We got in.
John's song is the old favourite, Tom Bowling.
Hear a sheer howl, Clyde, poor Tom Bowling, the darling of our crew. No more he'll the tempest howling, for death has broached him too. His form was of a manliest beauty, his heart was kind and soft. Faithful below, Tom did his duty, and now he's gone aloft. And now he's gone aloft.
John went aloft too, then.
Dennis, digging deep as ever into his sea chest of old songs, comes up with one about my old brown hat.
Yeah. Everybody knows me in me old brown hat that I've got upon my pimple. It only cost me a tanner in the cup, but it looks all right on me little wooden nut. Oh, I say, what do you think of that? If I can't get what I'm wanting in a pot, then I'll have it in me old brown hat.
Oh, It's a cracking old song, that is. A real, cracker, that one.
Chest, it's a golden treasury.
Ian has one of the first and one of the best of Irving Berlin's songs, always.
I'll be loving you always, with a love that's true always. When the things you plan need a helping hand, I will understand always, always. Days may not be fair always, that's when I'll be there always. Not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year, but always.
Final score, in case you're interested, a tiny victory this week for John and Frank. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.